Let's go to 1 John. I listen to religious television again. First John, chapter 1, verse 1. Not verse 1. That will take too long. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, it's hard to translate some of these things because, like, there's no verb, or we can't truthing, or we can't live in faithing, or how can I say it? I don't even know how to say it. We can't light, we can be working, but we can't be lighting in our language. We can be
I hear a separation between
we can't be faithing. We can't be truthing. We can only tell the truth or say the truth. But in the language of the scriptures, it's a continuum. So if I walk in the light, it means that I'm. What does darkness mean? Darkness means I'm never not in light. I mean, darkness means I am not in light for a particular moment in time. But and you got to hear this. We have a word for sinning. And let me show you what they did with this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, first of all, and it says, anyone that's born of God does not sin. And then here it says, if we say we have not sinned, we are a liar. And so herein is this crux. Now, what I heard, and this, I don't even know who it was, but he's saying, if I say that I, he's saying that God is, what is it, how did he put it? He called this a great contradiction. And so he's saying, if we say we have not sinned, that means that God is looking at a snapshot. And so if we say we have not ever sinned, if any man is in the light, he is in the light, then does not sin. Any man that is born of God does not sin. It means he's looking at the whole movie. Now, this is the crux of the issue. If I am in light, then I have received the gift of faith, and I have exchanged identities. Now, I have the capacity to revert to the old identity, to the identity of the vessel. But if that part of me which is born of God cannot sin, you understand? But if I say I have not sinned, then I'm a liar. Because there's the spiritual life is almost schizophrenic. Well, it's not almost. It is a schizophrenic walk. Because there's two identities. And the one identity, that when it's expressed, the identity of self-awareness, always has to be taken to the cross. It is the tell in the cosmic poker game that you have walked in, are walking in darkness if you are aware of yourself. And every time you are aware of yourself, or you, or yours, or your something, then it means it's the Holy Spirit is telling you, repent. Not to change your way of doing something, it's to leave that false identity in the grave. But listen, I mean, this is the greatest contradiction. It's funny though, I never read it as a contradiction before until I heard this preacher say that it was a contradiction. If in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now, the predicate is, he that is born of God doth not sin. There is no sin in him. Now, am I confusing you or just...
No, I don't either.
Well, what's going on is the same thing that Paul talked about. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. Every time it's I that live, then I have left the not I position, and I have returned to me. I've become aware of me, aware of myself, aware of my surroundings, aware of my pain, aware of whatever it is. Aware of a need, and that is the Holy Spirit challenging you to leave self behind, to return to the gift of faith, to return to this place of looking from the top down, to return to the right identity. But what do? You try to work it out. You try to either cause somebody else to change your ways, or you're going to make vows to change your ways, you're going to do something, I'm going to be good... Whatever it is, it has to do with self-awareness. Therefore, you have left the gift of faith and returned to self, returned to the curse. And so then that's when you abandon yourself. That's when you leave yourself behind. And he that is born of God, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, he cannot sin. But all you can do is sin. So the only way of reckoning this and the only way of understanding the gift of faith is an exchange of identities. That's what the word reconcile or reconciliation means. It means to have exchanged. We're not reconciled to God so that we can have a relationship with him, which is just ludicrous. That which is holy can't have a relationship with that which is unholy.
I have another question concerning the word. I'm aware that light is on, the fan is turning. I'm aware that we're in here having power.
Good. Self-awareness. Making you the subject of your sentence. Self-awareness is the essence of sin. And self-realization is the process of sin. Concern with self is the evidence of sin. Is that not understandable? You just don't like it very much. Do you?
I don't know okay with. I can accept.
Can you understand? Well, that's big of you. God, we're going to have to give Ronnie an award.
I think my mind was doing a little dance when we first started talking about awareness. From yesterday, when you know, about the pain and stuff.
And I had to confess it.
Or feeling tired or exhausted or have a headache or I'm upset or I'm not feeling good.
Because every time you are aware of, you understand that the usurper has taken over the temple. So every time there is the slightest awareness of self, it must be confessed. I.e., you must return to the place of looking from the top down instead of the bottom up. Instead of just being a little victim of circumstances and a victim of what your mind is telling you or your emotions or your pains or whatever, you become a different being. You are a different being. But an individual that is consumed with self is by definition consumed with sin. Understand?
Yeah.
It's like the person who would claim, like they in the First John, that, you know, I don't sin, would be sort of a Dobson kind of a thing where you're.
Oh yeah, I mean Dobson is.
State of you know, we just ignore the fact that, you know, there's a possibility of, you know, this temptation or testing even going on. Of sinless perfection. That sort of blasts that out of the water.
It is, and it is a form of the ancient Gnosticism. And you deny the process of sanctification. What, Gary?
I got to ask this one. This reminds me of 2 Thessalonians, wherever it's talking about the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the man of whatever sin. Who shall be consumed by the brightness of his coming.
Right.
So that thing with the appearance of the perusa or whatever it is, the Christ. The
presence.
Is consumed by the.
Let's wait for Gary. For a minute or two. Everybody understand this?
I get the point of that an awareness of self prompts us to repent. I don't get the point of the contradictions that you're presenting.
Well, there's an actual scripture somewhere.
There's a scripture that says, he that is born of God cannot sin, doth not sin.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it is.
Also,
right.
It was wrong.
I think it's
an idiot.
Somewhere.
I can't find it, but it says, he that is born of God doth not sin, cannot sin.
Yes.
But I can't find it. Why can't I find it? You don't know where it is. You're just guessing.
Given the time, the resources, I'm going to be in the
New Testament.
All right. You understand this thing.
Well, there's a similar scripture in 1 John 2:6, whoever abideth him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth not seen him, neither known him.
It's close.
Not the one. Oh, no. That's two verses later is the one we're looking for.
Yeah.
Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
Where?
1 John 3:7-8.
Well, you just said chapter 2.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, verse. Go there. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 5. Oh, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, and you know that he was manifest to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Everybody understand now?
That's why when you're in that position of thinking about yourself, you're in darkness. You're just identified with yourself as a child of Satan. You know, and it's sort of pushing that to the ultimate point.
But it's why it says that men love the darkness more than the light, because the darkness, by definition, is concerned with you, yourself. And that's why I keep telling you. Well, I'm gonna go get an education. Well, then you'll be an educated center. Well, then I'm gonna go on a fast. Well, then you'll be a fasting center. Well, I'm gonna study. Well, then you'll be a studying center. Well, I'm gonna be nice. Then you'll be a nice center. It's either all of you or all of him. There's no in between. Examine yourself, prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you're reprobate, you don't know he's in you, therefore you can't repent. All you can do is continue on this treadmill, a never-ending treadmill. You just keep on trying to keep on doing the best that you can. I'm just doing the best that you can, and I'm always wrong. Yeah, that's true. Isn't it, Harry? I've heard that from Harry for 500,000 times. Well, I'm just doing the best I can. God damn it! Then you're wrong. This is a massive switch in your system, and it goes from the place of the gift of self-realization to the gift of faith.
To me, it's like if there was a commandment that said, "Thou shalt not feel your shoes." I'm going to wear shoes, but I'm going to try my best not to feel my shoes. It's impossible. Until I just get rid of the shoes.
I don't know if that was a very good analogy.
Not because you don't really feel your
shoes. No, I think most of the day I don't feel my shoes unless something causes me to think
about
them.
But if you read here, it says don't sin, then all of a sudden, I do sin. Yeah. Okay. So it's I guess keeping my shoes is like trying to do it myself. I want to hang on to me, but not sin. And that's not possible.
I want you to watch both yourself and others. How much of the time you and others are preoccupied with self? And then I want you to imagine a life in which you've totally abandoned yourself, where you take no thought of or about yourself. And on occasion, if you do, you instantly recognize that it's sin. That's what Christ said when you said, he said, behold the lilies of the field. Behold the birds of the air. Behold the squirrel. No, he didn't say that. But did he say squirrel?
I'm sure there was, you know, I know things were written that weren't recorded.
I don't think he mentioned rodents.
He didn't mention?
I don't think so.
But again, it's without self-awareness. It's a life without self-awareness. That's what I'm trying to get into your head. And every time there is an awareness of self, it causes you to what? It causes you to lean on your own arm of understanding. It causes you to calculate and move and try to mix ideas and read and find out something and find the answer and go to the manufacturer's handbook and find out where and what you should do next and go to the doctor and find out what you should do and go to some expert. You know, people, fortunately, they don't come and see me as often as they used to. But you can't believe how many times people want, I mean, you can, but that's what they want. They want somebody to tell them what to do about a situation. And I pray that I never did. I don't know why people would come and see me, because I told them the same damn thing over and over and over. Abandon yourself, pick up your cross. He that is within you is greater than he that is within the world. You have no cares. You have been perfected. You have no needs.
They figure if they come to you often, eventually you've done.
Well, let's go. Let's look at this. We're still since Pete found it. And this, in chapter 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now again, remember, the word love there is now a verb. It's not agape, it's agapeo. It means that you literally prefer another person's interest over your own. That the needs of others are more important than how you feel. That is the manifestation of Him. And any time that the manifestation is not Him, now you're pissing me off, get away, go away from me, get out of here. Or the passive aggression, which some of you know a great deal about, then you become a consumed with self person. And a consumed with self person is a defeated person. There is no life in you. You become a spiritual black hole. You just become an empty nothing, worthless. You're no good for the world and you're no good for the kingdom. Now, they give a great example here. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, Abel's offering was Christ, because it was the shed blood. And he, we see that often in the type. Cain, on the other hand, stirred around in the dirt and tried to find something that would work. And he just worked hard, tilled the soil, and grain grew up, and then he made that as an offering to God. But the problem that he didn't recognize was that the ground was cursed. Now hear me, that's what you are doing. That's why this is in here. When you stir around in your mind and try to figure out some solution, something to do, or you go to somebody else, it's just another hunk of dirt, and you stir around in theirs, all you are doing is, the best you can do is create the offering of Cain, which is the cursed offering, which cannot be accepted. Is that clear to everybody?
Yeah.
every idea you have, every plan you have, every agenda you have, came from the offering of Cain, from stirring around in the dirt. Does that communicate? On the other hand, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, or as a grain of mustard seed, because the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. It's not this poor little helpless little shell thing. Somebody's troubled. Alex, are you okay? Okay. Anybody else?
There's talk about abandon yourself as a command, and pick up your cross as the result of that?
No. There's two commands, two summary commands. Deny yourself, which is abandon. Pick up your cross. Both of those are summary commands. And follow me is in the tense, which indicates it's the result of those two. And really, they're the same command. You can't abandon yourself until you've picked up the cross.
But what I was relating that to is I, in my own strength, can choose to prefer your interest over mine. And I get this self-righteous thing, because I'm aware of that. I'm aware of me doing that versus abandoning myself. And what a result of that is, I am considering the needs of others more than of my own.
Right.
Because I'm not even concerned with mine.
Right. But the problem is that's why these things take so long, is to know the difference. Because anybody can act like they're preferring somebody else's interest for a while. What do you say?
If you get pissed off, you may get wrong.
Yeah.
But in the parable of the sheep and the goats, they weren't even aware that they were doing anything.
Right.
So if you're aware of you, I'm going to deny myself in this moment.
Well, that's what we were going to talk about. Let's go do it real quick. This is what I intended to talk about before I watch religious television. It's the other thing. Remember I told you that the gift of faith and forgiveness are interlocked? Now it's what you're talking about, the gift of faith and humility. Luke 17. I'm just going to read, and then we'll study it tomorrow. I'll talk more about it. Luke 17, verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so. So likewise you, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only that which was our duty to do. There is no possibility of any feeling of doing the right thing if you're doing the right thing. This is where, many times, somebody came here because they thought we had a mission. They thought we had a purpose. So they joined for some purpose or mission. And then they consume the mission, and there was nothing left. The mission became their righteousness instead of Christ. The mission became their food. Now, if you think, you know, if you take any part of the mystery and say that's your mission, then you will pollute it, it will become your food, and you will be less than unprofitable. But we'll talk about that, the humility with relationship to this gift of faith. And that, and then hopefully that will put the circle on it. I can't believe we've only gotten 3 of the 9. Well, actually, there are 12. 3 of the 12 gifts. We're going to be in the gifts of the Spirit until hell freezes over. Thank you, Ronnie. Does anybody have any response or anything to say, or anybody, any questions? Take a big guy.